From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of January 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be here with a look at today's agricultural news. Amy Rochkus will be along with a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And we'll talk with Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, about the agricultural cash grain markets. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby March wheat down 20.5 cents, the high at 849.75. The low at 824, settlement price at 825.75, 20.5 lower. May futures 878.25 on the high, the low at 54.5, settlement price at $8.55.5, down 19.5 cents. And July wheat 897.5 for the high, the low at 873.75, settlement price there at 874.75, down 19.75. From the corn pit, the nearby March contract down 6.75 at 644, the May at 654.5, 6.5 lower, and July corn down 6.25 at 659.75, December down 6.25 at 576.5, March beans a penny and a half lower, $13.98, the May at $14.08, down a penny and 3/4, and July soybeans 14.13.5, down 2.25. November contract at $13.23, down 2.5 cents. Bean meal futures finished 40 cents lower at 377. Bean oil at 57.27, down 14 cents on the afternoon. February live cattle futures were up 55 cents today, settled at 107.50. April futures at 112.77.5 were 60 higher. March feeder cattle at 126.22.5 were up 62.5 cents. The April at 127.27.5 were 90 cents higher, and the February lean hogs today at $85.75 per 100 pounds finished $1.80 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media, located on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, March contract, $89.30 a barrel, up $3.66. Ethanol at $2.30¼¢, down 0.3. Natural gas at $4.33¼¢, a penny and 0.2 higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 3¼¢ higher at $2.68¹. And the gold futures on the day at $1,340.70, up $22.30 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,833 is down 156 points. The U.S. dollar at 78.1 is up 0.41. And the CRB index on the afternoon now at 335.44 is 4.05 higher on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for Urbana-Champaign. This afternoon, cloudy skies, a high near 32 degrees, south-southwest winds between 6 and 8 miles an hour. Tonight, a chance of freezing drizzle, mostly cloudy, a low of 27, south winds at 9 to 11, and then partly sunny tomorrow, a high near 35 degrees, north-northwest winds between 5 and 9 miles per hour. Saturday night, scattered flurries, mostly cloudy, a low of 23, north-northwest winds between 3 and 5, and Sunday, partly sunny, a high near 31 degrees, north-northeast winds at 5 to 8 miles an hour. Sunday night should be mostly cloudy, a low of just 21 degrees, and on Monday it'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 28 degrees. Monday night, cloudy, a low of 21. Tuesday, a chance of snow, cloudy, a high near 26. Tuesday night, snow continues, a cloudy evening, a low of 16 degrees. And Wednesday, a chance of snow, mostly cloudy next week on Wednesday, the high near 22. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 6. That's right, a low of 6 on Wednesday night of next week. And Thursday should be mostly sunny, a high in the upper teens at 17 degrees. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us from his Lafayette, Indiana offices at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting is Mike Zuzulo. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Todd. Doing well. Thank you.
You're going to get in the car today and come see me, aren't you?
You betcha. We're going to fire up the Prius Turbo and head on over.
Oh, you've upgraded.
Well, when you have five children, all those car seats, you need a turbo for the hill.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that 93 miles will slip by really quickly.
That's right. Over. That hill in Danville gets me down to about 40 miles an hour.
Well, you're running, the battery start to run out about that time,
right.
I suppose. All right, so you're headed over. We'll see you at 4:30 for Commodity Week this afternoon. Bill Lapp will be our guest. He used to work with ConAgra and has his own business in Omaha, Nebraska now. Should be kind of an interesting character to talk to. He consults a lot with food companies about purchases. Given what's happening this week around the globe, I think we probably ought to talk to somebody like him. So hopefully
it's a tribute to you guys to be able to pull in people like that. That's a perfect guest to have when you've got the World Economic Forum going on and Cargill talking over there, and you've got a lot of these food prices going up wholesale-wise but not being able to be passed on to consumers globally. And now you've got these riots in Egypt starting to really get the market's attention to the downside, unfortunately.
You know, I have to say that the videographer that I work with, the Steve Parker, who shoots all the video when we're out doing television, always says, "I'd rather be lucky than good." And that's the case.
Yeah, well, that's right. Stopwatch is right twice a day, right?
Yeah, that's right. So let's talk about this marketplace because it was lower today, although it was a bit all over the place. How did it take place?
I think bottom line, in my mind, and at the end of the week for me, I have more questions than answers for you and the listener, mainly because of what happened in Egypt. I mean, I say that with the mindset that just last week we talked about on Commodity Week, the increasing fears that I was starting to have about the geopolitical issues that were starting to boil and some of the political issues with governments wanting to regulate more tightly, you know, based upon our guest's paper, Dr. Irwin's paper that you had on. I think we're starting to see the tangibility of that fear. And so in that respect, that's one less uncertainty, but I think it brings out a lot more uncertainties, and you also had the Japanese debt being downgraded this past week, and that didn't get a lot of press, I don't think, as much as I thought it should have, Todd, but I think that's something that's going to stay with us quite a while. And I think the State of the Union address and the continued mindset of one side of the aisle wanting to invest and spend, the other side of the aisle wanting to maybe try and not spend as much, but both of them having in their sights, I think, the 2012 election more than anything else. I think these types of things are going to bring more uncertainty, and it just continues to follow in my mind, especially with the way the beans traded, where they were down real hard in the early part of the week, got some really good census numbers from crush, they got some really good export sales, and then they got an Argentine strike that really seemed to help them out today, along with the crude oil market turnaround. You've got a lot of uncertainty there as well, but the net-net is that we closed again another week lower in both corn, and the corn did finally close lower this week, whereas it was able to hold off last week.
Does it scare you much? I'm surprised that, I guess, usually you think about unrest around the world, and money tends to pour into the marketplace as opposed to out looking for safe places, safe havens.
Yeah.
Were you surprised it finished lower today?
I was, to the extent that how fast the Egyptian issue took hold, and I guess I shouldn't have been, because it started in Tunisia earlier this week and last week, and it started to spread into Egypt. Yemen is another Middle Eastern country that is starting its protest. I think what I worry about is, you know, we've talked about in the past how last year seemed like an almost idyllic comparative year to 1980. Well, it's really interesting that we have this going on in Egypt here in 2011, because it was 1981 that the Egyptian president got assassinated, Anwar Sadat. And it's really interesting to see how closely the wheat is moving in terms of a 2008 type market, but also the geopolitics is moving, and the interest rates and global inflation are starting to move towards the 1981 market, and so that continues on. I pulled out a book that I had gotten a long, long time ago and barely cracked it about Middle Eastern history, and one of the things I found was in 1964, when the rioters during the time of Nasser's head of being Egypt's head, they burned down the U.S. Embassy's library. Nothing was done about it in terms of the Egyptians trying to help us, and so Lyndon Johnson, our president at that time, suspended all the wheat shipments to Egypt after that. I think that's where Egypt, between just the fact that they're right in the middle of the Middle East and the crude oil markets, and they're right in the middle of our wheat market. They're the number third buyer right now in terms of importer of U.S. wheat behind Jordan and Japan. They do mean a lot more than, say, something like Algeria or Tunisia.
All right. So, hey, I went back. Speaking, you mentioned Scott Irwin and from Commodity Week last week. And part of my job, of course, is to put out a program called the Illini Farm Report, which a lot of radio stations run. You probably don't hear it as the Illini Farm Report. I was writing a piece from Commodity Week for that particular feed that goes to radio stations this morning, and working through some of the things that Scott had said and you guys had asked him last week, and made note after I went to the CFTC website that the CFTC was created in 1974. And I thought historically that was fairly interesting given the time frame today, because 74 was the time when what was happening. We were in the midst of doubling the price of commodities, right?
Yeah, and interesting you bring that up, because just this week, a very important European paper by the European government was supposed to be released, and it was talking about speculation in the role in commodities, and it's been delayed, but some early copies have gotten out, and it supports very much Dr. Irwin's position that they really don't have. It's the tail being wagged by the dog in terms of tight supply and demand bringing in and low interest rates bringing in these speculators, not the other way around. So that was pretty neat to see that as well.
All right, so let's go back to, you know, we get off on tangents from time to time, and I like to talk about it, but that should a producer be scared to into any action, do you think?
If you take Egypt completely off the table because it is such an uncertainty, I would say go back to the fundamentals we were trading earlier this week. I like the way the wheat went up, but wheat failed. Wheat did not get above that 864 and a quarter, 864 and a half high from back in August, and so we had a technical failure in wheat. That puts wheat on kind of a red alert that it's due for a technical correction. Some of the early yields, yes, that's right, early yields coming out of Brazil. We're actually starting to harvest in Brazil now. Some of the early yields in the number two state of Paraná are coming in better than last year right now. It's very early on, Todd, but I think if I had to say one thing, I'd say what I said last week on Commodity Week. I'd be working more of a mindset of getting rid of old crop beans and really working on new crop beans at this stage to try and lock in great profit and diversify. And, yes, I am re-owning those beans on a known risk option strategy until I see what USDA says at the end of March, but I really like locking in beans at these price levels. And then if I throw Egypt on top of it, if crude oil continues to go on higher, and this picks up from what Dave and I were talking about this morning about the equities markets and the stock market, the worst thing to happen to an economy coming out of recession, other than higher interest rates, is an explosive move in gas prices. And that's where your 1974 issue turns into the late 70s because of something like that. So my mindset is put Egypt back on the table. I'm still in the mindset of hedging one crop for the new crop and leaving the corn alone to see if the wheat wants to give a technical sell signal or try and come up back up or for a double top.
All right, so work with the beans, get something on sales on both sets sold, and maybe re-own them on paper. Wheat futures are watching, saying technical correction at this point, making sure that it's not going to turn and go down.
Right, no big sell signal yet there.
And corn following the wheat.
Correct.
All right. Good enough. We'll see you at 4:30.
Sounds good. And by the way, the cattle report for the semi-annual, bigger supplies than expected on current numbers. Future supplies, though, are smaller than trade expectations. So it kind of sets up a nice correction in the fat cattle, in my view. But it's not going to happen, I don't think, until those hogs get ready to top, because the hogs have really been leading the cattle on that South Korean export news.
Thank you so much. I'd forgotten about that cattle on inventory report. We'll talk more about it, too, during Commodity Week. We'll see you in a bit.
Very good, sir. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens each and every Friday afternoon. You know, you ought to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of interesting things, including all the details of our March 8 all-day ag outlook. That's coming up not long from now, and we're making pre-sales for $20 a piece of tickets to that event. You can find out how to do that online at willag.org. Dave Dickey puts that program together. He's the director of ag programming here at the radio station in Illinois Public Media, and with us now with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service has granted genetically engineered Roundup Ready alfalfa seed non-regulated status, meaning farmers can plant it anywhere without barriers or geographic restrictions. Decisions about genetically engineered sugar beets and a type of corn will come next week. The decision on GE alfalfa was received negatively by organic alfalfa producers, but lauded by mainstream agriculture groups. The Center for Food Safety, though, expressed displeasure at the USDA decision. CFS Executive Director Andrew Kimbrell vowed his group would seek a court order vacating the governmental approval. USDA had to make the decision after a federal court ruled that an environmental assessment was inadequate and ordered APHIS to conduct a full environmental impact statement. Senior Chinese officials today say that China's grain demand will likely increase by 4 million metric tons a year over the next 5 years, while the local supply of agricultural products will face huge pressure. Edible oil demand will rise by about 800,000 tons a year, and meat demand by about 1 million tons a year. Sara Lee Corporation says it is splitting into two public companies, one focused on retail and food service and the other on drinks and baked goods. The retail and food service unit will retain the Sara Lee name and will include that brand as well as Jimmy Dean, Ballpark, Hillshire Farm, and others. The other unit has yet to be named. Sara Lee will pay a special dividend of $3 in 2012 before the spinoff is complete. OPEC output has risen in January to the highest level since December of 2008. Supply from all 12 members of OPEC has averaged 29.49 million barrels per day this month, up from 29.14 million barrels per day in December. Federal regulators have fined two Illinois futures traders $2 million for exceeding speculative position limits on rice and have banned them from trading rice for 11 months. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission says that Andrew W. Daniels, Edward Taylor, and Daniels Trading Group, LLC, an unregistered company owned by Daniels, held positions in Chicago Board of Trade rough rice futures from October of 2007 to July of 2008 that should have been aggregated to conform to CME Group's speculative position limits. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Next week on Tuesday evening, February 1st, I'll be in Lincoln on the Logan County Fairgrounds at the Extension Building, along with Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and our own U of I Crop Insurance Specialist, Gary Schnitke. It's at 7 o'clock, free event. Please do come by if you get the chance. And don't forget that our all-day Ag Outlook meeting is scheduled for the 8th day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The details are on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Up next, Amy Rochkus is here with a commentary.
Illinois Farm Bureau members spoke with one voice on how the United States Environmental Protection Agency is stepping into farming practices more today than ever before. The EPA is proposing piles of regulations that seem illogical and overly burdensome for a farmer. Delegates to the Illinois Agricultural Association annual meeting in December passed a sense of the body resolution. This resolution was not specific in terms of Illinois Farm Bureau policies, but general about the way our members feel in regards to the actions of the Environmental Protection Agency. Farm Bureau believes that the EPA has greatly overstepped its authority. Farmers do their best to comply with and implement everything the agency has asked, and yet the EPA continues to need or to come after agriculture. There are currently more than two dozen separate Environmental Protection Agency regulations and proposals that would impact farmers, either by taking valuable tools out of their hands or by making production costs soar. As consumers, you enjoy an abundant supply of safe, affordable food, but if the EPA has its way, that food could end up being neither as abundant nor as affordable. Farm Bureau is urging Congress to hold oversight hearings on the EPA's regulatory overreach, to pass legislation that would strip the EPA of its authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions, and to cut the agency's budget in order to bring some common sense to the environmental regulations. Farmers work with the Department of Agriculture and on all aspects of their farming operations, including environmental issues. Farm Bureau believes that the EPA should collaborate with the USDA in the development of regulations that impact agriculture. Do not misunderstand agriculture's intentions. Farmers want clean air and clean water. We breathe this air and we drink the water too. Agriculture wants regulations that are not overly burdensome or illogical. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge our listeners to take advantage of our commentary section. You can do that by giving me a call at 217-333-9697. That's 333-9697. It is a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain markets, Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the marketplace and cash grain movement.
Cash grain movement has slowed up quite a bit as we move into having a big chunk of grain having been sold. I think the amazing thing to me is on the basis side, how fast we've seen the basis pop back. And actually you go back and look at historical numbers, and it seemed like it was a little weaker the first part of the month compared to what the actual historical numbers are. It's pretty much of a normal type basis when you look at it. But in the last week or two, as a cash movement has slowed up, we've seen nearby corn snap back a couple cents. Beans have popped up about 3 cents in there. So it reacted pretty quickly.
Yeah, not so gentle reminder that we're short of both supplies.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, when we look at it, there must be some still moving from hedged inventories. Barge freight has really popped up on the Illinois River. They're harder to find, and they're running like 500% of tariff right now. So pretty good barge freight numbers out there, but like you said, it's a good reminder that there just isn't that much out there.
What are your bids for the day?
We are at 625 on nearby corn and 1373 on the beans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes with the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Blueberry Pancake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, William S. Burroughs was born, an American inventor. Burroughs invented and manufactured the first adding machine with a printer. Also in 1885, the first locomotive ran from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific on the Panama Railway. In 1945, Swedish ships brought food to starving Netherlands. In 1981, U.S. President Ronald Reagan lifted remaining domestic petroleum price and allocation controls in the U.S., helping to end the 1979 energy crisis and begin the 1980s oil glut. And in 1985, 45 of the world's top recording artists were invited to an all-night recording session at the A&M Studios in Los Angeles. As each of the artists walked through the studio door, they were greeted by a hand-lettered sign put there by Lionel Richie. It simply said, "Check your ego" at the door. The session started at 10 p.m., with producer Quincy Jones conducting. At 8 o'clock the following morning, the project U.S. for Africa was recorded and mixed. The resulting song, We Are the World, featuring Michael Jackson, Cyndi Lauper, Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Sting, Harry Belafonte, Diane Ross, Paul Simon, and many others, became the top song in the U.S. on April 13th of that very same year. The All-Star Charity event was created to raise money for U.S. for Africa, a nonprofit organization benefiting starving residents of Ethiopia. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
I'm Todd Gleason on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, funded in part by NOAA, now joins us. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weekend forecast.
Well, it's going to be relatively benign, all things considered. We're not going to see much of anything this weekend. Pretty much the status quo. Temperatures near to a little bit below normal, perhaps, but maybe a little bit of sunshine here and there, a few flurries up in northern Illinois, perhaps, but pretty quiet all around.
How does January stack up in comparison to history?
Well, it's been a cold and relatively dry month when you talk about actual water precipitation. Temperatures so far are running 3 to 4 degrees below normal for the state for the entire month through yesterday. So that's pretty significant. And the winter as a whole, since December 1st, is running about 5 degrees below normal. And that puts it right up there probably in the top 20 coldest so far. But precipitation this month is pretty far below normal. Snowfall is pretty close to normal right now, but doesn't have a lot of water in it, and January, typically one of our driest months, is looking that way right now.
We have been talking the last several days about whether there was enough replenishment with the rainfall events that had made their way up the Ohio Valley to work through southern Indiana and southern Illinois and those places that were pretty dry, although the drought monitor says that's not the case.
Well, it has helped. The drought was a lot worse in the fall. There has been some improvement, especially in parts of Kentucky, the eastern and central parts of Kentucky and Indiana and Ohio. The Missouri Boot Hill, western Kentucky, southern and far southern Indiana, really right along the Ohio River there, has still been rather dry. They did get some good precipitation out of the systems that came through this week, and we'll see some more reflection of that perhaps in next week's drought monitor. But, you know, right now we're not getting a whole lot of replenishment anyways, even if it rains or snows, because the ground is generally frozen and most of that doesn't get in there. So right now we'll probably – I wouldn't expect to see much change in the status of that over the next 6 to 8 weeks perhaps.
Of course, my primary concern is the soft red winter wheat crop that would be grown in that area. Illinois, by the way, used to be, and I think probably still close, number 5 soft red winter wheat producer in the nation.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'd have to check that number. I'd have to check that number. It's been a while, and our acreage has gone down substantially, so that may not be even close to the case anymore. So, all right. Anything else we need to check in on?
Well, I think transportation issues could become a factor next week. We're watching the possibility for a rather substantial storm system here, perhaps Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday, so that's something to keep your eye on if you're going to be moving anything, cattle or yourself, over the next week.
All right, thanks so much.
All right.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. That is this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit willag.org for Commodity Week.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers.